at Gillette Stadium, where we will be every single Monday for the next 17 weeks or so. And it is a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. And Boomer Esiason coming up in about a half an hour at 8. And we'll find out how many wins Boomer thinks this New England Patriots team will have, among other things, with Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. And with us here at 9, Ty Law. So it's a Ty Tuesday on a Patriots Monday, which is on a Tuesday, however you figure all that out. We are going to get to They Said It momentarily, but before that, we should open the Window World of Boston weather window for Chris Curtis. Here, can you poke your head out on the field at Gillette, Curtis?
I can. Okay. A little bit of haze out there this morning. Here we are in Foxborough. This is the sweet spot. Best weather, best time to be in New England right now through till, I guess, about Halloween. I love the weather this time of year. It's going to be 76 and sunny. Today, we're going to go up to the 80s on Friday and Saturday.
Oh, excellent.
And the Patriots season opener, as Josh McDaniels is paid by the team he's coaching against, it's going to be 74 degrees and sunshine for the Patriots and the Raiders.
All right.
All right.
Well, let's go. And you can get a whole house full of windows installed for $99 a month. Get yourself energy-efficient windows. Save money on your energy bills with Window World of Boston. Go to windowworldofboston.com. Chime, let's do it.
It's time for...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
They...
Don't let the Sox win this game.
Said it.
I'm just going to say, they want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
They said it. On the Greg Hill Show.
I'm not talking about this.
Everybody got the message?
They Said It is brought to you by Ketch's Law, and they want to honor those who built this city. So whether they drive or construct or care for others, please nominate them when you go to WeBuiltThisCity.com. That's WeBuiltThisCity.com. What is up first today, Shime?
Well, Greg, let's begin with old friend Tom Brady, because Tom Brady was talking about what he looks for in quarterbacks when they score touchdowns. Here is Brady explaining what he likes to see from his quarterbacks.
When a quarterback throws a touchdown pass, I actually watch to see who he goes and celebrates with. Because what did I do? I looked for my offensive lineman every time. I went down and celebrated in the end zone with my teammates every time. I wanted everyone to feel like they were part of the success. I told the linemen, we're all running to the end zone and we're celebrating as a team. Because I think that's way more intimidating than a quarterback doing his six-shooter guns and pointing up in the crowd and doing all that other bullshit. That's very self-promotional, but it's not about winning.
Well, right. I think we know why the Raiders didn't draft Shedeur Sanders. That gives you a little indication there, maybe.
Yeah. It does. No, look at me, celebration after the touchdown.
I know this isn't really my lane, far be it for me to criticize the GOAT.
Yeah.
But you can't say that you're against self-promotion when after the game you don't wear a Patriots hat, you wear a TB12 hat.
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of balls on deaf ears for me.
But he is right on the field.
Oh, totally.
I mean, and he was not a big... look at me guy when he played, certainly.
And remember, when he began, and it was Vrabel and Wiggy's and Ty's and Brewski's team, when he started getting national ads, he brought his whole offensive line,
right,
which was unique at the time.
Think Tom Brady will ever coach?
I think, hearing that, I feel like he should, but no.
Yeah. You don't think so? What, just too much trouble, not enough money, or, I mean, he's
the greatest suck at coaching because they can't pull out of people what they don't already have, like Jordan and Magic and,
right,
and like those guys. The only one that was somewhat successful is Larry, but like, if you're truly that elite,
you just get frustrated with guys who don't put the effort in that you did,
right,
or
like you saw him in that soccer thing. He's like screaming at people for not like leaving their families to get a goal.
And you got, and like, they don't understand that, like, everybody is not built like you.
Right.
So everybody can't be, you know, motivated the same way. But I think
you have experience with this, by the way. The great ones sometimes can't coach.
Yeah. You know, look at Bill. I think Bill and I are going through the same thing right now.
Yes, yes.
I mean, Bill and I are going through. When I was coaching in high school, people were already upset because they felt like, oh, I didn't put in my time as a high school coach. And I think they feel the same way about Bill, like some of those college coaches. That's why they want to crush Bill, because they're like, well, you didn't come up the way we came up in the college world. Yeah, you might be the GOAT in the pro world, But college is a different breed, brother. You've been coaching a long time, but it ain't been in this world here. And I think there's a lot of jealousy. That's why he's going to have a massive bullseye on his back every week.
Yeah.
And from the national media, if he's not successful. And I think, Curtis, you might have said it on air or off air, he's going to be a punchline.
Yeah.
He's going to be a punchline.
This morning, nationally, he's a punchline. And we're a pretty tight-knit group. Off the air, we're the same as on the air. The only time it was awkward was when Wiggy's teams in Brockton were losing, and Courtney and Gregan are, like, laughing, but not really. Like, do we send a funny note? Is it too soon? It was the only time that the splinter occurred in the text thread.
Yeah, we were trying to be polite.
Right.
I mean, thank God he wasn't talking to ChatGPT Bob Lord knows what would happen.
I might have jumped off the Tobin.
Oh, God.
I would have been like, Bobby, what's going on with this football team?
It was all political.
I can't get these kids to run a basic 5-yard out route. What should I do? Hey, you should jump off the Tobin.
In the Twitch chat, and by the way, you can watch this show today and every day on Twitch or on YouTube, and it is brought to you on Twitch by Springer's Jewelers, and my friends at Springer's Jewelers want to help you buy a diamond, so if you're in the market, go see them in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. They will teach you about diamonds and sell you a diamond for the best price. So, but Game Dog says there is no college coach that feels that way, Wiggy. So that's what
that
Game
feels
Dog said,
what way?
That they're gunning for Bill because he didn't come up the way they came up.
It was on social media that a unknown offensive or an unknown coordinator basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'll have to go find what they actually said, but basically, like, every chance we get, we are trying to destroy Bill Belichick because of the way we came up or the way we coach in college football.
And like, there's a guy that was viral on one of Cowherd's podcast networks talking about how he spoke to coaches all around the ACC and they're waiting and hoping for him to fail.
Yeah, of course they want, because it's like, wait a second, just because he's the GOAT here doesn't mean he should get this and get that. You don't think there's some guy who's been grinding it out thinking like, man, I should be the coach at UNC?
Totally. Want to get to what Bill said last night?
Yeah, let's get to a bit of what Bill had to say in his post game last night after getting his doors blown off by TCU.
Yeah, look, they just outplayed us. They outcoached us. I mean, they were just better than we were tonight. That's all there was to it. They controlled both sides of the line of scrimmage. Their skill players played well, and you know they did a lot more things right than we did. So, you know, give them credit for being the better team. They certainly deserve it.
I mean, started strong.
Right.
I mean, I was all in last night, that first drive.
Yeah.
And then I, like, by halftime, it looked like the great Roy Williams had removed all Tar Heel blue off of his body, Curtis.
Can I tell you?
He was wearing a paper bag over his head last night.
Last night, 8:14 p.m., my friend and yours, Ken Laird.
Yeah.
And I quote, "Bill will be back in the NFL by November," unquote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looked good.
Yeah.
Just didn't continue that way. So, but back to the drawing board. And if anybody can recover from a tough loss, it's the GOAT.
We're on to Charlotte.
And the thing I'll give Bill credit for, and the thing, and this is why I love Bill as a coach, I love Bill and Parcells, is because right there, he's not sugarcoating anything, and he won't sugarcoat anything with his players, because some of these coaches be like, yeah, even though we got blown out by 40, we still play good. No, we stunk. We have to do better. And if a guy's can't do it, he's going to put the next guy in, because I could see the kid Max Johnson getting the nod even when that other quarterback comes back healthy, because he played well. Granted, it was a blow, but he still went in there, drove the ball, and was able to score a touchdown.
And I got to give him credit. I mean, he's going to hold that defensive coordinator accountable, I really think.
Yeah, the defense did not look good.
Yeah. Shine was attacking his appearance last night.
Yes, he was.
Which wasn't nice.
Yes.
Well, I mean, hey, man, nice. From one thick guy to another, I know a man who likes to eat.
Yeah. It's a lot of barbecue down there.
That's true. That's a great point, Wiggy. I never even thought of that.
All right, don't bring it to Brockton.
Right. All right, what's next?
You're right. You're going to get a health inspector called on you. Let's go from one nightmare for Bill Belichick to a good weekend or a good at least couple days here for the Boston Red Sox. Lucas Giolito had a great outing, not yesterday, but the day before, getting that win in the final game of the series against the Pirates. Got his 10th win of the season. He also talked to Nesson about how much he loves playing in Boston.
The magic of Fenway, man.
Yeah.
It is, especially with where we're at in a playoff race.
Right.
This is the most fun I've ever had playing baseball in the MLB. you know, every single game matters. The fans show out, whether it's a day game, night game, midweek, weekend. They're here. They're on their feet in the big situations. They're locked in on the game. We can feel that energy as players, and it just makes it really special.
Mm. Well, you're 2.5 games out of first place, and locked in is what they seem to be. I know you were upset with, you know,
the Pittsburgh series.
That there wasn't a sweep there. But, I mean, in general, I feel like they're cooking a little bit. So,
Well, you could be in first place come Monday because you look at your schedule. You have Cleveland, and then you play the Diamondbacks, who are not very good. And Toronto plays the Yankees this weekend. And the Yankees, not only they play Toronto, they got Houston. So, like, you could really, realistically, be in first place come, you know, if Toronto happens to stumble a little bit here in the next couple of games. But by Monday, you could be first place in the division if you take care of business.
Let me hear it. Praise to Brasbot. Can you give it to him?
Yeah.
You got to give it to him.
Yeah. I would also say, though, maybe Dustin May, not exactly the stud that they hoped. I don't want the Red Sox to ever trade with the Dodgers again. And secondly, don't look now. The Giants are on a roll. 8 of 9. Devers hit his 29th bomb, 93 RBIs, 1% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah. Right.
Look out.
I don't. I mean, we issued an apology to Craig Breslow last week.
Yes.
So I think
deserved.
We've covered that.
They're right where they need to be.
Yeah.
Good morning.
I had another one of those nightmares last night
where I was
pulling Lindsay's hair, and it was a worse situation than the Asian child who was drowning. This one, Jordan Hicks was pitching a playoff game.
You're trying to drag him off the mound.
What do I do about that?
Yeah.
When it comes to that nightmare,
I would maybe take some ginkgo biloba.
Okay, all right. Shime, anything else?
Yeah, one more for you here, Greg. There was a nice little funny clip.
We got time for two if you got two.
All right, I think we got two.
Okay.
There was a funny clip that came out of college football over the weekend as Southern Miss got kind of beat down by Mississippi State, and the Southern Miss coach had a very good excuse right in the holster as soon as he started his press conference.
I mean, they spent $15 million on O-line, D-line. Second half, they should get an investment on their return, a return on their investment. We're built pretty good, but we're not built for that league. And what we were, the plan, obviously we knew that's what they try to do. They try to wear you down. That's what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you ain't lying. It's just you see it in with UNC, and then you talk about Matt Patricia at Ohio State. We talked to Vrabel about it. You know, some schools, they just have a bigger endowment, or maybe they just have bigger boosters that are willing to give money, and you can get those players. And that's why, but you have to win, because that's why part of my lead was, will Bill get those kids if they're not winning?
But what point does college football have to cut back on that? Because it's true. At what point are coaches going to say, we can't go up against these schools? They're paying $15 million for their O-line, D-line.
Blame the alumni. You guys are alumni at Boston College. Hey, listen, you want better athletes? Donate some money.
All right. This is my donation. I mean, wearing the shirt.
You look at BC and you look at, I mean, they end up losing a really, really good quarterback. We saw that this weekend.
Ugh, that was really hard to watch, actually. Especially because people started going back into how Castellanos was saying, like, that he and Bill O'Brien butt heads in the beginning, and he's never had to deal with a coach like that. Like, just be quiet. Move on to your next place. But
that was clearly an issue for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't want to, you know, he doesn't want to be coached. He's like that generation.
Good luck, then. Down the road.
And thank you to all the people that found me on X to let me know how Castellanos did. Thank you. Yeah. I was aware. I was watching it. Yeah. But the issue for me in terms of colleges goes back to that Brady quote we played.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is who he is for many reasons, but overcoming Drew Henson, having to earn his spot over the course of 5 years,
teaches you
face adversity, and it teaches you. Now, they'll just go to another school.
And the thing about Billy O, and this is what a lot of college coaches don't do, and I think some of these kids, they buy into it, is they're not transparent, right? So Billy O is probably like telling Tommy, like, here's where you stand. If you're not able to get it done, we're going to put some where other coaches might
seem like it was injury related.
Well, you know, but I'm just saying a lot of these college coaches are not transparent. They tell them everything to get the kid there, and then It's like, well, that's why you see so many kids leave. Just be honest with the kids from Jump Street.
All right, we'll get to the rest of They Said It coming up next. We are at Gillette Stadium, and at 8 in about 15 minutes, Boomer Esiason. For the first time this season on this show, we'll get to talk to Boomer about Bill Belichick last night, his debut as a college football coach, and about this New England Patriots team and what he is expecting when it comes to wins and the rest of the upcoming NFL season. All of that coming at 8 with Boomer Esiason on The Greg Hill Show at WEEI.